Hello, I'm Keith Birrell from Real General Practice. Real General Practice, preparing you for Real General Practice. The following audio clip is a consultation with Gordon, who has a high blood sugar reading.
Let's hear it for our GP. A way of looking inside holistically. Bring out the changes with our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.
Gordon, good to see you.
Thanks very much for coming in.
All right. If my memory serves me correctly, we spoke on Thursday evening.
Yes, you rang me, yeah.
About your blood test results.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you could just take me through where we're at the moment together.
You contacted me saying my blood sugars are very high.
Yeah.
And you said it was a bit of an emergency, and you mentioned about ketones and everything else.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Yes.
No, not that you didn't contact me. I was surprised that my blood sugars are so high, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I had a suspicion that I would get diabetes because of my family history. My mother had type 1.
Yes.
And I wasn't upset or shocked or anything like that. As I said, it was just a bit of a surprise.
Sorry for contacting you in that
no,
way.
No, that's fine. It was just a surprise. It was just, as I said, a surprise, not unexpected. I knew, to be quite frank with the doctor, I knew I was probably going to contract it anyway. Because there seems to be, from what I read online, and I know what people say about, but at the end of the day, the internet's full of information. I went to Diabetes UK. I did a self-assessment as well after you talked to me.
Yeah.
And everything else, and it did state I was at risk. Plus the fact, as I mentioned to you, my girlfriend has got type 1 diabetes.
Yes.
So I used a blood monitor over the weekend when we were away in Leeds. I got blood sugars reading between 15 and 25.
Okay.
She's nagged the hell out of me over the weekend.
Okay.
So you'll be happy to know. She's had it for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
So, and I've been giving her earache about when she wasn't doing this and taking her medication and everything else. So I'm about as well as I can get the opportunity.
So there's two family members. So there's your mother who's got type 1 diabetes,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And your girlfriend who has also got type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So why did you think you were so prone to getting type 1 diabetes yourself?
I think it's because of my age group. I'm in the at-risk age, plus the fact my health as well. I suffer from blood pressure.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably a corresponding condition that might be connected to it.
Gotcha.
I also, I wouldn't say my lifestyle is super healthy. I know it isn't. I mean, it will be. I know I'm making drastic lifestyle changes, which is fine. It's just that last year, and of course I'm neglected to check, and the 40s mine, I'm not blaming anyone else. I should have come down last summer, and then the nurse, Michelle, told me I was borderline anyway.
Yeah.
And I wasn't surprised at that.
Okay.
I was expecting it, I suppose I was being a bit naive, I was expecting it to be a few years down the line, in my mid-50s, not my early 50s.
So it's interesting. Let me just get a better feel for what your understanding is of type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Because you say you're concerned about your lifestyle, but you're also concerned because of your family history that you're going to develop diabetes. Can I clarify what your fear was?
Not fear, just expectation, I suppose. It's not like, I don't want to demean it. It's not like, you know, I'm suffering from any form of cancer or anything like that. It's a controllable, livable condition that people, as I say, I've known people live with it for decades.
Yeah.
It's like smoking or air pollution, things like that. I take it as one of the features of modern life. Say 50 years ago, this was practically unknown anyway. I suppose it's just one of those things, you may get it or you may not. And I suppose that's a bit laissez-faire when it comes to that sort of attitude. But my personal opinion, if I don't take that sort of attitude, I wouldn't want to get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, sure.
Worried sick.
I'm going to come back to your fears later on with something of an explanation behind type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
Fair enough.
But just to highlight, there is a big difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
You've got a family history and a personal contact, very close contact,
mm-hmm.
of type 1 diabetes. But your lifestyle that you're worried about that might lead you to get diabetes, we'll come back to an explanation of that later on if that's okay.
Right.
Okay. What, with coming here today, are you hoping that I might do for you?
Well, obviously, you're going to test my sugars again, I'm assuming. And then you're going to advise me what action I need to take to control the situation, to control the illness, well, control the condition, I suppose.
Okay. So you're expecting that I'm going to make a formal diagnosis of diabetes and then give you some advice about how we're going to manage this?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's helpful to know. Before we go any further, I want to make sure that you're okay in yourself. So first of all, can I just check about symptoms that you've got?
Right. The symptoms I've got are high blood sugars. From the blood tests that you told me about last week, from the blood monitor test that
Isabel,
with a blood monitor over the weekend on her strips.
Yeah.
And she's the one who's said, you know, obviously, she says you should go come see the doctor ASAP as soon as we get back.
But you're feeling quite well.
Yes. That's the ironic thing about it. When you rang me and told me I was out with some friends and you said, I was thinking, well, fair enough, I'm borderline and everything else, but I don't feel...
Isabel.
Telling me about all the symptoms. I said, well, you feel tired? I said, well, of course I feel tired. I feel tired anyway. I work in customer services, so we do nine and a quarter hour shifts.
Yeah.
So I'm mentally tired anyway, halfway through the day. So, and I'm not physically tired in myself, mentally tired, but I wouldn't contribute that to suffering from
diabetes. So no more than usual?
No more, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've not noticed any difference. Yeah.
And what about your weight? Have you noticed any changes in that?
My weight's fluctuated over the last year. I lost a couple of stone by middle of summer last year, but then I put it back on over probably from September onwards. I'm about 2 pounds lighter than I was a year ago. So, yeah, my weight's always fluctuating.
So no big weight losses recently?
No, nothing like that.
And in terms of other symptoms that other people might link with diabetes, have you noticed anything, for example, thirst?
I do drink water at work, but again, I do that more for a personal, and not so much as thirst. I just say the week, I've been off the last week, you see.
Yeah.
I've had to use leave that we have to use before the end of the current leave year. So I've been away and I've been at home because I'm currently moving house as well.
Yeah, okay. A lot going on.
You could say that, yeah. My life's quite active at the moment, which is ironically enough. But I've not felt a raging thirst.
Yeah.
I'd probably drink too much coffee and tea like everyone. I'd probably have too much caffeine, but again, I thrive on caffeine, to be honest with you, because caffeine makes me get through the day.
And you're not a drinker?
Well, I drink in moderation.
Yeah.
I'm not a heavy drinker. I don't smoke either.
Good.
Okay. So
alcohol consumption, I think, if I remember correctly, was maybe 5 units per week.
On average. Well, last week, for example, I didn't drink at all during the week.
Yeah.
And after you told me first in my, I didn't drink the weekend, I was away. She nagged me.
She was with you.
Absolutely.
How long have you guys been together now?
We've been together 2.5 years now. I'm separated from 3 years ago.
Yeah.
My wife comes to the surgery as well.
Okay.
So we've been together for 3 years, but I've known her for 11 because I work with her.
Okay. You got kids?
I've got a son, Daniel, 24.
Yeah. Okay.
That's from my first marriage.
So you've been married twice?
I've been married twice. My first marriage ended after 2.5 years. My second marriage ended after 17.
Yeah.
It's not so much a worry. I'm not worried. That she was more worried for me, obviously, because she's got a more personal involvement in the situation with her condition on me. Yeah. And she gave me lots of advice. She told me what I need and everything else, which is great, you know. And plus the fact it was a big subject of conversation over the weekend because she was testing me every other hour.
Now, going back to the testing, one of the things I asked you on the phone was if you could be your urine sample could be tested for ketones. Did you have that done?
No.
Okay. So that's the one test I'm going to do for you today.
Okay.
Is what we're looking for is...
She suffered from ketones last year.
Okay. So before I do that, a couple of additional questions just to make sure we're not missing anything important. Are you getting up at night for a pee?
Well, no more than normal, once or twice.
Once or twice, and that's normal for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And not constantly every hour or anything like that.
And your general health, you're not on any regular medications at the moment. You're on your lisinopril.
Yes,
Blood pressure. No side effects with that, no irritation.
No, there were side effects when they increased the dosage a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But I went back down to 5 milligrams. I'm fine with that. Okay. It's fine. So
and your last blood pressure wasn't perfect, not a million miles away, wasn't perfect. So maybe we check your blood pressure once more mm-hmm. today. But I don't need to check your sugars because you've been doing that all the way through yeah. the weekend and you found that they're high.
Right. They fluctuate drastically between 24 and 50.
Good.
But she said to me, well, that'll be lower because she tested her sugars.
It's helpful to know those numbers. That's great.
Yeah, so once you get medication to control it. Right. So
I'm not going to repeat your weight because you just had that done.
Yeah.
I'm going to do your blood pressure again today, if that's okay. That's fine. Tend to find that seeing the doctor is a trigger
for your blood pressure? Yeah, I do have a paranoid fear of doctors and hospitals.
So. In that case, maybe it's not so helpful to check your blood pressure, but I do need a urine sample.
Okay.
So perhaps what we'll do is dip your urine now,
yeah.
and then we'll see you again after my next patient.
Okay.
And we'll take things forward from there, if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's
we'll have a discussion about what it all means.
Okay. What colour am I not looking for then, Doctor?
On the ketone sticks?
Yeah.
Well, we preferred it not to be, not to show ketones. And we were expecting it's going to show sugar because your blood sugar levels are so high.
Mm-hmm.
So, glucose is very positive, which is what we already know because your last blood sugar on Thursday last week was 24. So plenty of sugar there. No ketones.
Good.
Interestingly enough, although you're surrounded by type 1 diabetes, this very much confirms that you've got type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we'll talk about the relevance of that to you and how that is managed and how different that is from type 1 diabetes.
Yes, of course.
All right. Do you drive?
No.
So, to you, what does type 2 diabetes mean?
Well, obviously, pancreas is not working. Too much sugar in the blood. Left unchecked, it could develop into type 1. And later on in life, it could affect my vision, which I'm probably more paranoid about than anything. My extremities, I could literally pass out, maybe even die from it. I know this for a fact.
Isabel?
Nearly died 5 times over the last 11 years because of a condition.
Nearly died? Tell me more about that.
Because she had ketones last year.
Yeah.
And she was rushed into hospital in an emergency when she was coming back from York with her sister for a weekend break. She insisted she stay home until she gets to Sunderland.
Yeah.
Which was pretty stupid of her, personally. So she was in hospital for about a week or so in intensive care.
Okay. So
yeah. I have a very real, vivid knowledge of what could happen.
It's easy to get mixed up between type 1 and type 2 diabetes, and I think it's important to clarify what the risks are to you of your type of diabetes, because you have a very different type of diabetes from
Isabel.
So ultimately, there are risks to your eyesight and to your kidneys, as you quite rightly mm-hmm. know about. And there are risks of you dying suddenly. Yes, there are.
Mm-hmm.
They're not likely to happen in the short term, but in the medium to long term, represent very real risks to you, and we need to quantify those for you
mm-hmm.
and clarify how to protect you from that happening. But you're not going to do the same sort of thing
Isabel
does, which is develop ketoacidosis,
right,
where your blood sugars are too high and you're producing ketones because you've got type 2 diabetes, and that almost never happens in type 2 diabetes.
Right.
And it's managed in quite different ways. And you're absolutely right from our conversation earlier on that lifestyle has a big part to play in type 2 diabetes. So, for example, if I was to take 100 people with type 2 diabetes and ask them to lose a bit of weight by regular exercise and by modifying their diets, if all of those people with type 2 diabetes were to lose, say, 15 kilos,
yeah,
then the vast majority of those would actually go into remission. In other words, their type 2 diabetes would probably pretty much go away.
Right.
Which would protect them from so many of the consequences of diabetes
mm-hmm.
that they would probably go back to the same risk as the general population. So the thing that worries me the most with type 2 diabetes is that it's linked with the long-term risk of you having heart attacks, strokes, and angina. So dying suddenly, as a consequence, not of diabetic ketoacidosis, because that doesn't happen in type 2 diabetes, no, but because of blood vessel damage caused by the diabetes and linked with the diabetes. But lifestyle is the thing that I'm going to prioritise with you to help you the most with this problem.
Okay.
So a lot of people think that it's all about sugar. It is about the sugar, but it's not all about the sugar.
Right.
More of it is about blood pressure control and lifestyle control, and also cholesterol. So those are things that we're going to be helping you with more so than the same sort of things that
Isabel
has to be thinking about. Okay. So we may at some stage think about things like injectable insulins,
right?
But at the moment, we're not in a rush to do that.
So I don't need medication at the moment then?
I think with your blood sugars being as high as they are, that almost certainly is a good idea to be putting you on medication straight away.
Metformin
is worthwhile considering.
Right.
But because your sugars are so high, I think we might even be thinking about something else before that.
Okay.
But I think we need to have a conversation about the pros and cons of all sorts of different medications.
Okay.
So what I'd like to do is to book you up for later on this week to see me together with my diabetes nurse,
mm-hmm.
so that we can go through the medication options for you.
Okay.
So there's no urgency for me to start you on medication today because you don't have any ketones in your urine.
Right.
But you've probably already started to think about lifestyle measures anyway. So I'm sure that we can help you with that. And what I'd like to do is to book you in to see me this week, if that suits you, okay?
As soon as possible, doctor.
Yeah.
No problem.
And I'll also get a second appointment for you to see my diabetes nurse so she can go through some of the other educational aspects related to type 2 diabetes.
Okay, that's great, yeah. Fine.
Okay. What I do already have is an audio podcast that you can access, which would help you to make choices in the long term about what works for diabetes.
Right.
Lifestyle measures, blood pressure measures, cholesterol measures, potentially sugar medication measures,
mm-hmm.
and then hopefully we can come to a more rational decision together that involves you more in deciding what's going to be right for you in the long-term future.
Okay.
But I don't think we're thinking about the sort of crises that your girlfriend's faced on many occasions where she's practically needed to be admitted into hospital because the sugar controls have been skew-whiff.
Mm.
We're going to be focusing on lifestyle. We're going to be trying to focus on the measures that will protect your kidneys in the long term, and ultimately we'll try and keep your risk of heart attacks, strokes, and angina to a minimum as well.
Okay.
Does that all make sense?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, complications that we're going to be looking out for potentially in the long term for you, if you ever get a crushing pain in your chest.
When you say crushing pain, okay, I always attribute that to heartburn.
Mm.
I've had pains in my chest, not debilitating or anything like that, but just sharp pain, and that for about a minute or so.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about that sort of thing.
Right. So
what I am worried about is as if you feel as if an elephant is sat in your chest.
Oh, I see, right, okay.
Really
crushing, yeah.
Crushing right. Chest pain, usually.
No, I can honestly say I've not suffered that.
Linked with cold sweat often, linked with nausea, those sort of things. If that happens, 999.
Right.
If ever you find that you lose the movement in the side of your face or in your arm or in your leg,
uh-huh.
or can't speak, assume it could be a stroke until proven otherwise, call 999. But actually, everything else in terms of your risk of problems is relatively unlikely to happen.
Right.
Okay. And this is, we're talking about long-term risk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here. We've only just made this diagnosis. You've got no symptoms with your diabetes. The chances of you having worrying complications are next to none. If we were wrong about the type of diabetes that you've got, it's worthwhile being aware that you're looking out for being much more thirsty than usual,
mm-hmm.
peeing a lot, yeah. losing a lot of weight, and being much more tired than usual. Those are classical symptoms that might suggest you've got diabetes that's off the rails.
Right.
But at the moment, we know that your blood sugars are very high, but you've got no ketones in there at all. All right. You are also a little bit more prone to infections, including water infections and thrush infections, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So potentially, if you've got thrush symptoms, let us know for that.
Right.
Or if you're unwell with a fever, or if you're feeling unwell and shivery and you can't quite figure it, we're perhaps going to need to see you urgently under those circumstances.
Okay.
But the chances of anything else going awry in the short term are pretty slim, I think. Right. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to finish today's consultation, but we're going to get you to book in to see me this week and also to see my diabetes nurse. Before you go, have you got any points of clarification?
Not really. I mean, obviously, as you say, it's just early times at the moment. You've answered pretty much all my questions. I'm glad I'm not suffering from ketones personally. That's fine. Covered everything I was going to ask anyway. And as you say, the next appointment, so fill me in on more information, and I'll ask questions as and when. At the moment, I'm pretty much happy with what you've told me.
Just so I can get a better feel for what level of understanding you have at this time and where we need to pitch things for next time, perhaps you could tell me what you're going to tell your girlfriend when you go back.
Right, well, she's already sent me an email. she's at work, but she still sent me an email. I'm going to explain that while I was waiting out, I sent another email to her saying I'm having a ketones test in your urine and everything else. So that was one of the things we talked about. I will also explain to her that you've covered the entire background about my personal condition, what it entails, what we're going to do as we move on forward. You've done pretty much everything what I was expecting you to say to me so far. Initially, I knew it was going to be follow-on appointments.
Yeah,
I didn't think you were just going to go, yeah, you've got to do this and do that straight away, because that wouldn't make any sense at all.
So we're almost certainly not going to give you medication today, but we'll talk about medication options for you when we see you later on.
I mean, obviously, if I was suffering from any serious side effects, as you mentioned, any symptoms, then that would have been a different matter. You would have put me on medication straight away.
Absolutely. Now, you're absolutely right. Usually with people that don't have symptoms with type 2 diabetes, we would probably start on metformin quite soon.
Mm-hmm.
But that's usually within the first 3 months of being
diagnosed. I see. Sorry, I thought it was going to be more recent than that, to be honest.
But actually, with your sugar levels being as high as they are, then I think we'd be inclined to start you on a medication quite soon. And we've got a choice between metformin. But because your blood sugars are quite high, we might even think about another tablet from a different family called the sulfonylureas.
Right.
And the sulfonylureas tend to have a tendency to bring your sugars down much more, but they can have a risk of hypos, in which case you would have to monitor yourself.
Right. So
the drawback of having to put you on something like that would be that we'd have to keep a closer eye to make sure that you're not going hypo.
Gotcha.
And we need to give you instructions about what to watch out for if that was going to be the case. So we'll have that discussion when we talk to you next time, if that's okay. Anything else?
No, that's all. That's okay.
So look forward to seeing you later on this week.
Let's hear it for our GP. A way of looking inside holistically. Bring out the changes with our GP. Skills improving, risk reducing.